All right, here we are, worldwide live on BBS Radio. Thank you so much for those who join the show over the internet. Thank you, BBS. Thank you to the sponsor. Thanks to all the callers. We have the phone lines open, and we had several more people join in here in the last minute. Thank you so much for being here. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Dharmananda.
Yogananda, welcome to the call.
Thank you, Harris. You having an interview.
Dharmananda.
Yes.
Hello, Wynn.
How you doing, Wynn?
Hey, hi.
I'm going to call him Ananda.
Call me Dharma.
Donna.
Now, if your name is Dharmananda, that means you have to work really hard, doesn't it?
Not if you're in bliss.
Isn't Dharma yeah. Work?
Well, it means... It means the word.
We better shut up. But that's what Hayes introduced people.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. We have more people joined in here in the last minute. Thank you so much for being here. And if you want to, please say your name and location.
Good evening, Joel from Chicago.
Hi, Joel. Good evening. Welcome to the call. And I heard a lady's voice. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Julia in Humboldt.
Hello, Julia. Thank you
How
for being
you?
Here.
Thank you.
Hi, Julia.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Heis. Hi, Wynn. It's good old Jim from Sedona.
Good evening, good old Jim. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being there, good old Heis. And
all right.
And good old Terry.
Hi, Jim. Good evening. Good evening, it's Lucy. Hi, everybody. Everybody. Nice to see you, hear from you.
Hi, Lucy.
Hi, Wynn.
And I'm welcome to the floor. Thank you for being here. Appreciate your name and location.
Tony in San Clemente.
Michael Camino.
Tony, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
I went for
Hi,
girls.
Hi,
did I hear an echo? No, we're good. Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, can you hear me? What?
Hello, welcome to the call. Your name and location. Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
It's just me. I disconnected.
Welcome back, Michael.
Yep.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Don Brexel. Hi, how are you?
Hey, Don. Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Thank you.
Ready for your interview?
Interview?
Yeah.
Good evening. Welcome to the name and location.
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the call.
Hey, how's what's up?
Another day.
Yeah.
It's Marilyn here in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Marilyn. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing fine, thanks.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Kim in Florida.
Hello, Kim. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Hi?
Doing well. Thank you for being here.
Is that Kim Savoy?
Yes, it is.
Hello, Kim.
Hi, Wynn. How are you doing?
Where did your last name come from?
Where's my last name come from?
Yeah, is that French?
From her husband.
Yeah. No, actually, it's my maiden name.
It's your maiden name.
Mommy and Daddy. No, it's for my dad.
Savoy, it's kind of an elite name, isn't it?
Sure. Sure is.
All right. I think we're ready to start. Okay.
All right. The ding-dong.
I told Joel that Terry and I would launch this. Okay. So mute everybody.
This conference is being recorded.
And this is 6 p.m. Monday, September 16th, 2013. And this is Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and Hive in Magalia, and Joel in Chicago. And we're doing something different. Not that we never do different things. In fact, we keep ourselves occupied by making sure that we keep our, you know, nothing gets, no grass grows under our feet. And it's probably what makes these calls interesting. And so, very rarely do Terry and I take off. In fact, Terry, when was the last time we took off?
It seemed like it was months and months and months ago, and then it was only a couple of days, and before that, we didn't ever take off.
And I think we did a rerun that night,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Occasionally, I guess maybe in the last year, we've done two or three reruns, which are good. If it was a good rerun, it was good. And, you know, in yesterday's Sunday morning talk, I was talking about how we talked about DNA activation quite a bit and what really activates your DNA. And, you know, sometimes people think there's something technical they can do, like let me go to the DNA activator doctor and boom, somebody can do some kind of process on you and your DNA is activated. But the real, that works for anybody, let me know because I'd like to hear about it. But I think you can do lots of things in a moment, and in a certain sense, it activates your DNA because it's a moment-to-moment thing. The problem is, usually you go right back to your old patterns right away, and there's no permanent shift. How do you get a permanent shift? Well, you have to shift. Your life has to shift. Your relationships have to shift. And it has to start with taking the first step. The first step is the fact that you're showing up on our calls. Because our calls have, many people feel energy on these calls and expansiveness. And I believe that is part of the energy that activates your DNA. If you didn't hear yesterday's call, you should go back into the archives. I got a number of emails telling me it was kind of spectacular. You know, believe it or not, I have no idea when something is spectacular. It's over. And I said, what did I say? Terry says, what did I say? And then we get an email that says, that was brilliant. That was amazing. So thank you for those emails. It's actually good to know because you probably think we know. And we don't oftentimes. We don't know because we're out of it. We're in the call, we're in the moment, and there's certain words that suddenly reach someone, and it's awesome to know you've reached someone. But when we're saying the words, we think we're reaching people, but we don't know until we get an email back. So we do appreciate those emails and to know that something's worked. And after I got a couple of emails yesterday, I said, maybe that really was a good call. And I went in, you know, we go into things here on these calls that have never been, a lot of it has never been brought to the public before, never been out there. I don't know if you guys realize that. And we're not making it up. You know, I tend to be very, I got a good analytical side. So before I will talk about things, I usually have to have fairly good indication that it might be true. Not sure that it's true, but it might be true. today, the more research I do, this is one of the things I've learned, the more research I do into something, the more they'll talk about it. Because they do not want us to give up their power to them to say, well, tell us about this, tell us about that. And everyone then says, quotes the Elohim, and the Elohim said this, the Ra said this. And we very rarely do that. And whatever they say, I say, take it in, see if it resonates. And what I've noticed is that there's a lot that resonates. And when something resonates and it gets to you, you know, when you have an aha experience, that's one of the wake-up calls to your DNA. It's like there's energy flow. It's like, how do you get energy flow? In this realm, the realities are so projected, they're so rigid by intention that lots of people don't have very much energy flowing and certainly have trouble opening their chakras, and they don't even know the word chakra, and they don't even know it's closed. So they're totally locked into a reality system. And so the first thing somebody has to do is say, I think I'm closed. I think I got what you mean. And then I have to move into the place of like, yes, how do I open? I think I want to open. Well, the best way to know that you're closed is to have an experience of being open. Because as soon as you have that experience of opening up something inside yourself, you can now use that as a demarcation point, a reference point, to look back at the other stuff and say, hey, I want that more. How do I open that more? How do I get more of that? And now this means you are now on a path. That's what a path is. Path is when you realize there's more. You don't have more. You want to get more. And you want to know, you're a seeker, looking around for how to get more. And that's a major step. And that then you find things, you find people. You found us. Some of you have gotten more because you found us, because you put into action things, because some karmic patterns cleared, because you showed up on a call. And, you know, this is all happening over the phone. And many, many of you have talent. Some of you are healers. Some of you are volunteers. And many of you are in the background. You come to all our calls, and you're listening, and you're integrating. And it's really cool when somebody who's been in the background suddenly shows up and sends me an email. Like, for example, there's a gentleman named, I guess I can talk about him. Oh, nice. Dharmananda. Dharmananda lives in Santa Cruz area. And he's been listening to our calls for a long time. And he's been sending emails sometimes. And he's been going around and showing up in public places, as I understand it, and doing healing in the name of Jesus, and suddenly people are, their pain is gone away. And one day, he would be an interesting guy to talk to, and even though we are not, somebody said, are you a Christian organization? I certainly would say Jesus is there in our other side orchestra, but we're not officially a Christian organization. And part of the reason for that is that words become corrupted over time. And so for many people, if they hear the word Jesus, they think, I'm not interested in that. And somebody had Jewish and they had a predisposition to be growing up a certain way, and they might think that, you know, may immediately exclude themselves if they hear the word Jesus. So, but as I've come to understand it, Jesus is one of those words that connects to higher frequencies. And if you happen to use it that way, then you can make a connection. It has to fit into your own matrix. But in any case, somebody that walks around downtown and picks people out and say, would you like a healing? We might learn something from them. And I'll put an example of an interesting guy to interview. And some of you have talent. But to be eligible to be interviewed, you have to be able to have been touched and moved by our material, even though you may have talents where you're doing something outside of it. This is not a normal interview show where we're just looking for interesting people. We want interesting people, and we have lots of them. I know they're paying attention to us. And that way, sometimes Terry and I can take a day off, or if we have an event to do, we have people in line, and heck, people might, maybe the interview thing will be more interesting than us, and we'll just let that take over on Mondays, because sometimes I think we have so many things in our archives that there is nothing new to say, and that I know a lot of people are taking advantage of those archives, because they're just loaded with wisdom, with energy, with Elohim channelings, and there's hundreds of things there. So whether you listen live or you listen to the archive, it doesn't matter, mostly, because the energy is there. But the really cool thing about listening live is, particularly if you say hello in the morning or at the beginning, is a community of people that are actually at least making a slight touch into each other in the physical realm. And one of the things about community is connecting with other people of a high intent. Connecting with other people of a high intent. Because that creates the two or more gathered thing, which brings in frequencies of a higher realm. And so when we do these interviews, giving other people a chance to shine in front of people. And of course, somebody's thinking, well, shut up, wait, and let the interview start. So Terry and I wanted to launch this, and, you know, I may not always show up when we do an interview show, but we wanted to show up today and just give it a good launch. And Terry, anything you'd like to add to this? I'd like to add that you're muted, Terry.
Okay.
But you know what? It's okay that you forget to unmute, because that becomes like a signature, you know? It's a branding.
Right.
It's a branding. People criticize us. Why is it every time at the beginning we told you have so much trouble with your phone? And, you know, we could say it's all part of the act.
Well, I was actually, I was actually unmuted, but it was, I conked out here.
You fell asleep?
Yeah.
I was boring you, right? Now it finally comes why you never talk. Because when I'm talking, you get bored and fall asleep, right?
No, not very often. So,
Was I boring or were you tired?
I think I was. I think I'm tired. We got a strange call from stunt class dealer in California, and I was trying to download it and make head and tails of it. They want our sellers for it. Anyway, did you ask a question of me?
Question?
Yeah.
No, I was just telling everybody how wonderful it is to have such an alert and present support system. I turned it over to you, and you were sleeping.
Well, I would like to say thank you to Heiss, because Heiss has been steadfast and is very engaging, and he is there at the beginning, and he welcomes everybody, and he makes everybody feel welcome. So I would like to thank Heiss for his support.
Thank you, Terry.
Oh, thank you, Terry. And actually, all I was saying is, let me see, what time is it now? It is 15. Is my phone pretty clear right now, guys?
It actually wasn't from the beginning. It's doable, but it's not so clear.
Not so clear. Okay. Well, we're threatening to get a landline. If we sell a bunch of stuff to you guys, we'll have enough money and get a landline. Okay. You see, I don't know. We're at this place now where we are all part of. I'm not doing anything. How can I say this? We are in a place where we are creating together. It's like, you're part of the creation. You're not just an audience. Now, some of you out there think you're an audience. You think you're an audience. You think, I just listen, I never say anything. Here I am in Nigeria. They don't know I'm there. I know you're there. I can feel you in Nigeria. Terry's better at, I don't know if Terry would ever could do this, but, there's times when the Elohim, let me just tell you this one story. We haven't told this one for a while. Terry was channeling, and they kept telling her to say something. She said, can you tell me that again? When something doesn't make sense to her, she keeps asking them to say it again. And so they kept saying it, so finally Terry said it. And then the next day, we get an email from this lady in Turkey that said, what was her name, Terry, now? You remember, it was a funny name. That's what she
said. It was a really funny name. I forget the name.
Yeah, it was a funny name. And we get an email from Turkey saying, they said hello to me on the line. And little things, they don't like to show up. They're not going to, it's like they don't come on and say, okay, we're saying hello to so-and-so in there and so-and-so in here and so-and-so in here. You know what? That would be dangerous to do that, okay? Show that kind of precision. But they do it occasionally, and they said hello to a lady in Turkey. And other times, I remember, I'm a skeptic. I keep watching this, and I tell you people to be skeptics and not to believe anything, and let it prove itself to you. If it's real, let it prove itself.
I remember that. It was something, it's like they had so much joy with saying hello, and they just started speaking this foreign language, and I didn't know what they were saying, but it was so much joy in it that I just let them go ahead, and I didn't try to stop it or anything, and they were just speaking this foreign language, and it could have gone on, but finally I'm like, I don't know what I'm saying. And then the lady from Turkey emailed, said they were saying hello to her and called her by name. They had so much joy at seeing Hello. They just were bursting with joy.
Yeah. So if somebody's listening tonight that's new, you know, this is the kind of stuff you have to keep listening on these calls, see how it works. Some people say, we'll just have them prove themselves. Tell them to do this. So I ask them to tell me what I'm thinking. And they won't do it. They, you know what? They have free will. And they'll prove themselves just over time. Because if you demand, they don't care finally believe in them. They want you to feel their energy. They want you to connect with their energy. What good is it to blindly believe in something if you can't connect with it? Who cares if Tom Cruise is in the next room? If you're not connecting with them, it's just the body. they are real. They're an energy, and they can. I mean, they've demonstrated over and over again that they can flow into this realm, and that they're paying attention to this call, and that people can feel them. And then people have little phenomena. Usually, though, people don't get phenomena usually until they stop trying to test it, till they relax and be neutral. You don't have to believe it, but you just have to be neutral. And in a neutral space, energies can flow. In a testing space, you're creating doubt, and then doubt is what you get back. They can't work through the energy of that. You just have to be neutral and open. You can be scientific and you can be skeptical, but be neutral. So let's just say, I'm just going to, Joel Terry is in Chicago. And Joel, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Oh, good. You're there. Okay. So that's that moment of panic. Joel, are you there?
Yeah.
And, you know, Joel, for some reason I thought you'd be a good interviewer. And you want to tell people a little bit about yourself before we start? And then I'm just going to totally shut up and let you and Hyde go for it.
Okay. A little bit about myself. I mean, I have had a spiritual practice for a really, really long time. But when I had came into contact through a friend that had brought me Winfrey's material, it's something that when Win just talked about, I mean, just to follow up exactly what it was for me, exactly what he was talking about, and that it was, I felt something different. It was something that was, in essence, it was kind of magnetic, that I had looked at, you know, Judaism, Islamism, Christianity, the Bhagavad Gita, all of these different esoteric ways in which different worldviews, how they look at their spiritual self and how they look at the world as a whole. And when I ran into Winfrey's material, it's just one of those things that was a very kind of out-of-body, very physiological for me that just resonated. And the more and more I listened to the material and I studied who Winfrey was, that's what has been pulling me in a little bit more. I've read The Law of One, all five books, I think. And one of the things that I think here that I think is that most people should do is read the Creator God's book first. I had read The Law of One. I had read the books, Conversations with God, book 1, 2, and 3, and other channeled material. And this is something that really resonated with me, and I think an incredible introduction to this material would give everybody a really good empirical overview from a skeptic, because that's the part that people, you know, sometimes don't see when it comes to Win. And then if you understand that he comes from a left logic as well as a creative and emotional person, because he's musical as well as he's also this linear logic left side that questions himself in the material constantly. And when I saw that he had an incredible amount of integrity, how he did it, then I just, the more and more I showed up, I saw that my life had taken transitional changes that were really pretty strong. but I
now,
don't want
Joe, to. Joe, listen, we're going to interview you some other time.
Sure.
You know, one of the things about you that I think is like, you happen to be one of the, I think you should share this, you happen to be one of those people that is successful, getting more successful, an entrepreneur that has really big vision of things. And if you want to, you know, when I said say something about yourself, actually, in this case, I didn't mean talk about me. I suggest that, you know, I think certain people, we have a lot of people on the call. Some of them are struggling. Some of them have trouble making things work in the world, including Terry and me, okay? And you're one of those people that is really quite professional in what you're doing, in your vision, and, you know, you could end up being a multimillionaire doing what you're doing, and I think it's good for people to hear that you are here and that you also are there. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I have a, I mean, my job as, I mean, some people know, you know, who Snowden worked for, Booz Allen Hamilton. I've got, you know, one side that's a pretty high-end consulting group. I deal with major corporations, with healthcare as well as hospitals, helping doctors get paid properly under ERISA law. I also am marketing inside the United States and primarily inside the Midwest, putting together reps for genetic testing for medication sensitivity. It's just an oral swab, and we can tell you, is that pill right for you or not? And that's, you know, adverse drug reactions are very, 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 very serious in the United States. And so there's some things that we're drawing in on that are just, you know, revolutionary. And I really like what we're doing. And our whole thing is just our group is to go out there and to do everything with incredible amounts of integrity, to go out there and audit, help the hospitals go out there and audit that material and do it. But our whole thing is just to make sure that we have fun, enjoy ourselves, and the money we make is a measure of value that we bring to clients and everything. I have a big, you know, I wouldn't cheat anyone, wouldn't steal a nickel, and it's just not that important to me. It's a matter of doing what's right for people, and I do believe wholeheartedly in the law of one that, you know, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And if we go out there and we look at each other and we say, you know, we're saying, like Wynn says, you know, they're white, they're black, they're this, they're that. Those are labels. And the thing is that, you know, we have to remove the labels. And I really like one of the things that, you know, the Mayans always came back with, and it is the word Emlakesh. You know, and Emlakesh is that's how they greet each other. And that means I am another you, as opposed to, what I do sometimes also as a practice is if I have any kind of prejudice that kicks up, I just say, you know, I kind of say, you know, that's just their cloak. And that's another thing that Wynn had brought up again. So a lot of the things that Wynn talks about mirrors my own understanding of what I've discovered over the time. So, but Wynn should go away, and we'll talk to take the day off because it's 30.
All right, now we're just going to, like, cut all of that. That was all just an intro. And we're going to have, put it on, we don't have our opening music here. We don't have a name for our interview show, but I'm going to introduce Joe Terry and Hive Linderhund. And Hive's the weirdest, I hope you ask Hive about the weird spelling of his name. And we're going to start to get to know Hive. So take it away, Joel.
All right. Thanks so much, Wynn. Terry, you guys have a great evening. But and let's start off right there, Heise, because that is the one thing that, you know, I kind of, you know, we chuckled about that. I mean, because people show up all the time, and that question has become common over the months here. How is your name spelled, and what is the what's the background behind that?
Heise is spelled G-I-J-S. And in my mother language, I'm from Holland, the Netherlands. The combination IJ is actually a Y. So you could see it as GYS. And it's an old-fashioned Dutch name.
One of the things we'll start off just because, it's one of these things, there's a lot of different stories that we've heard over the time, but some of the easy stuff in the beginning. And you're married as well?
Yes, I'm married with Stephanie for, I don't know, like 16 years. And I have children, Kate and Eddie. Kate is 12 and Eddie is 10. And those were, the biggest gifts in my life. It's just awesome.
Are your children? One of the things, just to step over on the other thing that some people don't know and some people do, is that you're an electrician, and that being noted as a dangerous job, how has what we're doing here affected your outlook and the dangers that your job has? Has that changed your outlook on how you carry yourself through your day-to-day tasks?
I don't see my job as dangerous. Of course, you need to be, as long as you're aware of what you are doing. And one thing is what I did recognize, actually, that came through Neil Donald Walsh. I was watching a YouTube clip one time, and then I recognized that I had come to a point of not being afraid of dying. And I think that is an important point. When you're not afraid to die, you're not afraid to live. And whatever happens, doesn't mean you have to live reckless, not at all, but that you don't have the fear of dying, that's an important point, I think.
My saying for that, one of the best things that I ever heard, is someone said, and I'm sorry, I can't quote who that was, but they said that death is not an outrage. The outrage is what dies within us while we live. But for myself as well, I think it was Conversations with God, Book 1, that once I had gone through that and just kind of come off the way with that, it's an energetic, that we're energetic beings and that there isn't a fear of death. Mm-hmm. And but when it comes to Winfrey here, when did you first hear about Winfrey?
I ran into him online somewhere. I don't know. That was probably 4 or 5 years ago, 2009, I think. I was not so much. The turnaround point for me, was I was raised a Christian, and what they were doing just didn't make any sense to me, how you could either go to heaven or hell. This was one lifetime and it had to happen. And what I was seeing, what was happening in life, it just, I pushed it all away. So I thought it was nothing but Mother Nature and God didn't exist. But then what was a turnaround point for me was when Stephanie came home one time with the movie The Secret, and that rang a bell, and then I started going online, checking this particular stuff, and just doing research, and reading. I did read before that, actually, the Chicken Soup for the Soul materials, and I also got in touch with a healer, from Vietnam. I can't think of the name right now, but I just happened to run and win his website, started calling. We were only with a few people and on the conference calls back then, and it really has changed my life, and I'm so glad to be part of this and having so many people being your brother and sister, on the calls, and it's very uplifting.
One of the stories in that respect that you had shared a while back, and Wynn has as well, and I think for some people it gives a better understanding of how this has changed your life. Now, many of us know of the warts your son used to have, and could you share with those that don't know what that story was and how that come about and what the results were?
Yes, I bet it was. That happened about, I think, 2.5 years ago. The 1st of January was on a Saturday back then, and my son came to me. He had warts all over his hands for like a year and a half, 2 years at that time. And he said, Papa, he said, my number one wish for the year is for my warts to be gone. And then the next day, it happened to be that somebody called in. It was like a first-time caller who asked for the word, the wart, on his thumb to be healed. And then I kind of tagged onto it. In the meantime, also, I saw Eddie. He was walking by me. I said, hey, can I ask for your warts to be removed? And, oh, sure, he said. So this was on the Sunday call, and they put it in the light. And the very next day, Monday, I was at work, and my wife calls me on my cell phone. She says, wow. She says, Eddie's warts are all of a sudden disappearing. And it took like 2 weeks, and then everything, no traces left. So, but then, you know, it was not that I wasn't convinced before that this was an extra, you know, a great thing to happen. But then still, if you have skeptical people, like I have in my own family, it's kind of like, you know, no, it was a coincidence, you know. So, it's their claim. So, yeah, it's just, you know.
That is one of the, you know, I think really another one of these things that it takes in order to face family or talk to family or talk to other people about this is I think it takes a level of bravery. And I think another thing that really opened my eyes to it is because this has been given a label, and we use the label among us here, as channeling. And as you just talked about, you know, Neil Donald Walsh, Chicken Soup for the Soul, there's different materials here, as well as the Bible and et cetera, that have been channeled. And I think that is something that has always been held back from us. And I think that because when I first used that label, as channeling or, you know, connecting with the infinite and divine, that, you know, the channeling always had a negative aspect to it. What was the thing, and I think it takes a level of bravery for all of us to come up and to go out here and to look at this and to not follow this dogma that may be prescribed in one way or another, says you need to be this or you need to be that. And I think we kind of look at it as, why don't we just be ourselves? But you mentioned earlier that your resolve was set prior to your son's healing. What was it that made you say, you know, this is something that, what did you feel here? Or did you, have you had any, you know, spiritual experiences as a result of your involvement?
You know, how it resonates with you. That's, I think, the best way to describe it, how it resonates with you, how it makes you feel. And you know, there are, you know, the law of attraction, for example, that is, you know, I have seen things happen to myself from very small things to bigger things that I do recognize, hey, the law of attraction is something that's real. And That's it. It needs to. You need to feel it in your gut, and there's. I think that's it, Joel. It's the feeling it gives you, and that is what convinces me, and that's also.
From a personal experience, that's what I see as well. No walls go up because, you know, there's this one thing that, you know, in spiritual practices, and I think this is a good lesson, I'm just kind of throwing it out there for other people to witness for themselves and say if this is right for them. But one of the things that they learned is they said, you know, take in, when we're, I'm going back to what the feeling is that, you know, you feel this wall go up. And this practice was is that, you know, you say to yourself, you know, close your eyes and you say, think of someone that you love and say, I love them. And you just open your heart and you pour your love towards them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, think about that person again. And then you, what you do is you trick them. You say, open up and think about them really intently. And I want you to say, I hate. And you feel that tightening in your chest that says, that's a lie. Mm-hmm. And that is the truth that is out there. Now, what you're talking about is the feeling that I don't feel that wall go up. I don't feel that shutting off, that when is wrong, that this is wrong. I have that same process when it comes to that. But over the years, when it comes to, you know, what you've experienced, what is it that you know or have come to know that you'd like others to discover for him or herself? What is that, I mean, you've had such an opportunity to witness such a vast amount of individuals and individual stories and that, but if you could take it all encompassing, what are the things that you would like someone who's coming in, you know, we always say in the beginning, or just for everybody, what is it that you'd like them, that you've taken away, that they could discover for themselves or hope that they do?
It is your mindset, I think. In my job, being an electrician, it's service calls. I, you know, have multiple calls per day usually. And when you go to a call, that can be pretty challenging. You know, you meet new people, new circumstances, new problems. When you go there with the intention to fix it, and you know you're going to fix it. And because, you know, I do more often than I wish, you know, approach it the wrong way, and that I see, man, this is going to be a problem, and then it's going to be a problem. But if you approach it with a view, with the idea that you go there to fix it, and sometimes also when you have, you know, you can have, you have to approach people where I'm, you know, before I go to the job, I'm told from those are people hard to handle, and then you just go there with the exactly opposite idea that you can easily talk to those people and convince them to do things. And when you have a positive mindset, it always works. And but you know, it can be so easy to be distracted by other circumstances that you forget about having a positive mindset. So yeah, it's not, you know, always easy because of you know, you live in this 3D reality, and but that is what I would give as advice to anyone: live in the now, and the past is behind us, so that there's absolutely no reason of whining or complaining about the past. You live in the now and then look forward and then have a positive mindset.
I like one of the, in that same sense, I like one of the statements again. It's just anything the mind of man can conceive can be done, and that it's up to us to make a hell of heaven or a heaven of hell. But mm-hmm. It's a matter of how we define that as we look at it. Yes. But is there anything when it comes to, was there any real defining moment that clarified for you that this was real?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think over here. I cannot, there was not a particular moment, no, not that I can recall. I cannot say that there wasn't one, but I cannot think of one. But I go ahead.
Oh no! I was going to say in the beginning you talked about the sense that it was a feeling thing. What is the, you know, that you felt that it was right? And don't let me put words in your mouth. Correct me if I'm wrong. But when is the first time that you felt the energy that you really felt a, you know, was there a certain group of people that you feel that you know, add towards, or is, when is it that you felt that, I guess you want to call it the body buzz, or did you feel that energetic lift, that level of clarity, or what is that energy again for you? How do you feel that?
Well, that is probably on the Sunday calls particularly, that I feel, you know, I cannot go back in time and recognize that that happening at a particular time or anything. It's it's just, it has been a good feeling from when I started calling into those conference calls. Also the message today, that was every day exciting again to see what was, you know, the email that I was going to receive. And that particularly, definitely, that resonated with me, and there was so much, you know, such a good feeling behind it, and applause to Wynn particularly for his being so skeptic, and you know, he keeps on saying, "Don't believe anything I say," you know, so that made me really feel comfortable from, hey, just don't take it for granted. Do your own research, and it needs to resonate with you. And of course, also many thanks to Terry and Daphne and Carla. But, you know, I feel very comfortable being surrounded by the materials from those folks. And all those who participate with these calls, I'm just you know, I feel blessed to be part of it.
What is so? What would you outline? You know, what do you love about Wing Free?
I can't answer that because I can't talk about Win. if there's anything I love about Win, then that is his. That he's just a big skeptical.
I think, for me personally, the integrity. I think he's got an incredible amount of integrity. Now, what about Terry Brown? What is it you love about Terry?
Terry is just the biggest sweetheart. She has a humongous heart, and that's what I feel. I never met her, neither have I met Wynn in real life, so in person, I mean. But, you know, through the years, you feel each other, and it's just a blessing to be working mm-hmm. with them. Yeah.
And I feel we've got a mind melt because I've got how many people from Wynn and Terry's group have you met? Have you met anybody?
I don't think so. No.
And that's amazing because there have been thousands of people, and everybody, you know, feels really comfortable for you. I mean, I have two of my friends that joined. Well, actually, Will has since passed away, but Will found, you know, he said, you know, he joined me, and I felt, you know, right in the beginning, the very first time, I felt the energy, and he had read the Law of One, and he read. And talk about, you know, just kind of synchronicity. He was one of those people that I had met a couple of years before and introduced him to some material as well. And he said he just turned into a feeding frenzy. But the very first conference call was a Sunday call, and he joined it. And he said, you know, I felt it right from the beginning, just absolute, you know, some calm and clarity. And he mm-hmm. felt very energized from it. But I have a couple of friends that listen into it regularly. Now, are you part of any of the team shift, or that is
yes,
all in the morning?
Yes, it's been for a couple of years, so I have a team shift, yeah.
And which group do you belong to, or are there many?
I'm with the, I would call it the elite group. These are all long-time participants, and it's just awesome. Edna, Michael, Joe and Isis, Colleen, Lori. It's just an awesome group. And also, initially I was with, so I changed the group. Initially it was a group of two. I was with Gina. We did many calls together, but the group of two is like, you know, when one doesn't call, the group is not complete. So it's kind of like watered away. And then I started participating with this group. And yeah, that is an awesome group, really. And team shift, yeah. Really, that's a great toolbox. And I really, if you can, you know, you don't have to call in every day, even if you just call in once a week, as long as you have a little bit of sturdiness within the group, it is an awesome tool. That's how I experience it. People, you know, put things in the light, global issues. What I do all the time is when other people are putting in their in the light of their personal issues. I put some of my own personal stuff in, so I keep it just, you know, what I say in the calls is just, you know, planetary stuff and at large stuff. So really, if you feel any desire to be able to put stuff in the light, to do your prayer, you can see it like doing your prayers. And it's, you know, like they say, when two or more are gathered, you know, it's so much more effective. And it's definitely because, and again, what I have experienced, sometimes it's about small things, but sometimes it's just too obvious for it not to be an invoked synchronicity that you have part in by putting it into the light yourself, and that feels great. And so that is what I have to say about Team Shift, Joel.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's one thing that maybe we could get Wynn to talk about, because I know probably about a year ago, that was a year and a half ago, Team Shift was something that was mentioned much more readily. Now, what are the changes that you've seen in the beginning? Because I know in the beginning earlier, you know, I think it was around 55. I was around I guess it's probably been a couple of years now. And there was around 50 people, and there was kind of a different format. What are the change? What are the biggest changes that you've seen, and what do you like most?
You mean in the conference calls we do with?
Right. In the sense,
well,
that
you know,
the
big change, well, the big change, the great change that came was that somebody from the audience was so free-giving to pay for all the BBS shows, meaning that when we had initially the shows for the Wednesday and the Sunday was only per phone line, but now all three of the calls, the Monday, the Wednesday, and the Sunday, are also in addition to the phone line on BBS, and so we do have a bunch of people listening online to BBS. That's what you're pointing at, right, Joel? Am I understanding your question correct?
Now, another one, you had mentioned The Law of One. Have you read all the books of The Law of One, or how far?
No, I have not. I did read part of it, but for myself, of course, I'm for English is for me my second language, and in my opinion, is The Law of One material is a pretty deep material, and then of course in English, and then English being your second language makes it, harder still. So that's why I did read only very little of The Law of One material itself.
How many times have you read The Creator Gods of the Universe Want to Talk to You by Wynn Freeman?
I did it a few times. And also The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. I read that one even more often. That is also a great book. I mean, that is just so awesome written. I think Wynn has paid a lot of time on it, and there are so many details in there, so many different sides of information in the book. You keep seeing new things when you read it again and again. So
right,
but yeah,
that's what I was just going to say. What do you learn something new every time? And that's exactly what you're saying.
Yes. So
do you
those
feel
those
that
are.
You're,
go ahead.
I was going to say I think that is, like I mentioned earlier when we first started off, is the fact that I think that the Creator Gods of the Universe Want to Talk to You is a place that a lot of people should start from, because it does start off with that level of skepticism. And said, did this happen to me? And it happened to a person who had a critical sense in order to say, you know, I need to validate this. It took a couple of years in order to do it. But
yes.
Now, do you feel that your heart has been opened up? And how do you feel that you've been served here? Because we're kind of wrapping up on time. How do you feel
I remember the first time when I read Creator God books, it was there's something written about grace, and also something like, you know, just call on grace, and which I did at that time, and oh man, it was like, you know, I went through the roof. Such an uplifting feeling I felt, and felt very connected. So, you know. It's there. I know. It doesn't always work, but yes, it's there. The Creator God book is an awesome book, I think, and very profound, wonderful information, great questions with awesome answers. So I think, yes, like you said, that's just a great book. It's at 6:58, though, Joe, and I think we need to knock it off.
It's back to you.
Hey guys,
thanks so much. I really appreciate your willingness to open up and to let us know you a little bit better.
My big pleasure, man. Thank you so much, Joe.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, man.
That was awesome. Good work. And are you in front of the console, guys?
Yes.
Why don't you unmute everybody and let's just say goodbye.
All right. Thank you to those who are listening on BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS. And we are unmuted. Thank you all for listening on the phone line too, folks, brothers and sisters.